Welcome to the Weekend Messages podcast from Pastor Philip Gonzalez and Outpost Church. Our mission is to help people say yes to Jesus so they can flourish for the glory of God. And we hope today's message helps you do just that. If you would like to learn more or contribute through giving, you can do both online at outpostchurch.org. And remember, the more you say yes to Jesus, the more you are an outpost of the kingdom of God.
Continuing tonight, our series called Under the Sun, How to Live and Finish Well from the book of Ecclesiastes. And I got to say, I missed you guys last week. Did y'all have a good time last week with Pastor Mark? Yeah? All right, those that were here. Well, I had a great time, have had a great time planning this series out with him and mapping out who's preaching what, when, and I was so glad to hear from several people, actually, that it was a great time last week. And so tonight we continue, and before we go any farther, let me just ask this one question of my wife. Honey, how is the volume back there? Is that good? All right, since we don't have a sound man, it's weird. So we continue, and what we've been exploring in this series are three main things, right? We've been exploring, number one, the scope of the book of Ecclesiastes. We've wanted to keep this in mind. The reason we call this series Under the Sun is because that's what the scope of the book is. It's not talking about eternal life. It's not talking about heaven and hell. It's not talking about angels and demons. It's talking about what do you do here? What do you do now? What's life really like? And we've talked about how it's from the perspective of King Solomon, who had every opportunity to pursue every single avenue for these two things. He was looking for satisfaction, and he was seeking significance. And we've explored how that's really what we're all looking for, right? We all want to have a sense of satisfaction in our life, and we all want to feel a sense of significance for our life. But what we found out was that there are ways that we pursue these things which are not only ineffective, but they actually damage our souls. And so we looked at this as well. We said in week one, next slide. In week one, we looked at this through the lens of the intellectual. We said that some people will seek satisfaction and significance through wisdom and knowledge. And Solomon did that. And he, in fact, achieved amazing heights of intellect. The Bible says he was the wisest man who ever lived. And yet, he found that wisdom was futile, what the Bible calls a chasing after the wind. We talked about that phrase, by the way, futility or meaningless. It shows up all throughout the book. And we talked about how that is the Hebrew word hebel. Everybody say hebel. Hebel, and we talked about how that means vapor, momentary, transitory. There's a fun $2 word, right? And we talked about, though, how that doesn't mean it has no meaning. It simply means it doesn't have the weight that will sustain your life. And so we explored how the intellectual tries to find satisfaction and significance with his mind. Well, in week number two, we talked about how the hedonist seeks after satisfaction and significance, how we look for it in pleasure and in possessions, greater experiences to make us feel good, and greater things to own to make us look good. But we found out they don't satisfy either, and they don't add significance to our life. No matter how expensive your car is or how nice your new red shoes are, they do not give actual significance to your life. They may make you feel good. They may make you smile. They may get some compliments. And nothing is wrong with those things unless you're hanging your ultimate sense of purpose on them. Week number two. Last week, Dr. Mark Gonzalez shared with us a message called Be Careful What You Bank. And he talked about how some people will try to pursue satisfaction and significance through work and accomplishment. This is the heart of the achiever, the person who tries to bank their accomplishments and their accolades, or they try to bank their wins. And my dad and I were talking just the other day, and he said, he's looking through his notes and showing them to me so I would have an idea what he said. Make sure I didn't have to do any damage control, you know, like that. No, I got great reports from that. But he said, oh, here's this illustration in my notes that I totally forgot to share, and it would have made the point so well. So I said, don't worry, Dad. I'll share it. So watch this. He had this story, right? The story of a bird. And the bird was, it's told like he saw it. I don't think he actually saw it. He heard it from another preacher who probably heard it from another one. That's how a lot of these stories go. So there was this bird that was seen outside of a window in someone's backyard, and that little bird had found out that there was a pail. Some kid had left their sandbox pail nearby, and the bird was getting worms and putting them in the pail. He would go and he'd get a little worm, peck, 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 get him from the dirt, put him in the pail, peck, 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 get him from the dirt, put him in the pail. I wonder how many times we in our lives are approaching our work or our other projects in life, just peck, 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 trying to get a worm and put it in a pail, trying to get a little better at work, trying to get a little better savings in the bank, trying to get a little better position in whatever social group we find ourselves, peck, 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 getting a worm and putting it in the pail. And he got to this point when he put all these worms in the pail, and then the bird grabbed the handle of the pail in his beak, and he began to flap, 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 because there was a nest that was up in the tree, and somehow someone had put a nail next to the nest, or maybe I think it was a birdhouse. There was a birdhouse, and there was a nail next to it, and so the bird was trying to lift the pail and put it on the nail so that he wouldn't have to work anymore, right? He was trying to bank his accomplishments, bank his food. Now, let's be clear that saving for a rainy day is a good thing, amen? But watch this. That little bird expended so much energy trying to lift that pail, trying to make his future secure on his own, right before he got to the nail to finally finish it, he had a heart attack and died. The end. Now, my dad told that story once as a children's story at our home church of Gateway, and the kids really hated it. So I think he changed it at the end. He said, it looked like he died, but he really just fell asleep because he was so tired. Then he woke up and realized how silly he was. But that's not the truth. The truth is the bird died. Because you and I can spend all our life and all our energy and all our strength trying to build up our own accomplishments and trying to bank up enough wins in the game of life that we don't realize that the game will be over before we know it. And maybe with nothing to show for it, if we're trying to bank the wrong things. So be careful what you bank. And what we've discovered as we've gone through this whole series is that one of the threads that runs through it is something we'll see in today's passage, and it can be condensed in this simple idea. Here's what it is. Embrace this moment. Enjoy this moment. For this is a gift of God. And there are so many things in life that we can look to and believe, if I could just get there, if I could just have that, if I could just be them, then I would be happy. Then I would feel significant. Then I would feel satisfied. But the truth is that every day you wake up is a gift of God with good in it, with beauty that you can find, with joy that you can discover. It may not be the circumstance you would pick. It may not mean that there's no pain and suffering to be had in that day, but it's still an opportunity to embrace the moment because God gave it to you. And the Bible says that we have a heavenly Father who is the Father of lights from whom all good gifts flow. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, with whom there is no changing like shifting shadows. So, tonight, we'll keep that in mind, but I want to ask you a question that guides our discussion tonight. And here is the question. Are you building your life towards your goals or receiving your life as God's gift? Think about that for a moment. Think about the phenomenon of setting goals, building towards those goals, versus sitting back and receiving what God gives. What if I told you that God's answer to that question is both? See, sometimes we see a question like that and we kind of think, well, I don't know, it's like the receiving thing because I think we're supposed to receive. Isn't that like a Christian-y thing? Receive, receive. Yeah. What if I told you it was both? And what if I had Bible verses to back it up? Sound like a plan? Let's take a look. If you have a Bible, turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Ecclesiastes is in the middle of your Bible. It is after Psalms and Proverbs. In fact, it's right after Proverbs, which is helpful since the majority of the book of Proverbs was compiled by none other than Solomon himself. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we'll look at verses 1 through 8 now, and then we'll continue to verses 15. But as we get there, I want to draw your attention to this big idea. The big idea for tonight, simply this, here it is. In the providence of God, everything has its time, and everything gets its turn. If you're taking notes or filling in blanks, you can write that down on your program guide. In the providence of God, everything has its time, and everything gets its turn. That said, I want to share with you tonight a message I'm entitling, Turn, Turn, Turn. And as we look into God's Word, I will enlist some assistance in reading the passage. Mr. Devin, if you would push the button, please. This is where having a sound man helps. And there is a season to sing along. To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to build up, a time to break down, a time to dance, a time to mourn, a time to cast away stones. Stones together to everything. Turn, turn, turn. There is a season. Turn, turn, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven. A time of love, a time of hate, a time of war, a time of peace. The Byrds released this single based almost exclusively on the King James translation of this passage, Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 8. It reached number one on the Billboard Hot 100 list. That's something for a Bible verse song. It was originally written in the late 1950s by Pete Seeger, folk musician and social activist, and it was framed as a song for peace. How interesting that it comes with such truth from God's Word. It continues like this. To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to gain, a time to lose, a time to rend, a time to sow. So that's our passage tonight. As a side note, author Pete Seeger wrote the last few lines. A time for peace, I swear it's not too late. One of the reasons it was picked up as an anthem for peace. So, by a show of hands, how many have heard that song before? Very good. Hands down. How many knew that that song was actually from the Bible? Yeah, many of us, if not most of us. Great. Now that we've read the passage, far more interestingly than I could, let's move on. By the way, I did note there were some interesting changes, a couple of tweaks in the prepositions, but we'll get back to that in a minute. Mr. Devin, whenever you're ready. The question we've been exploring, are you building your life towards your goals or receiving your life as God's gift? Now, we just looked at verses 1 through 8. By the way, I hope you were following along in your own Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, you can look around and you'll find a hardback black one nearby. Because we're actually going to come back to this passage in a minute, but I still want to look at this question through the lens of the verses that follow. Ecclesiastes 3, verses 9 through 15a. If you have your Bible, follow along with me. Here's what Solomon writes. He says, what does the worker gain from his struggles? I have seen the task that God has given the children of Adam to keep them occupied. He has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also put eternity in their hearts, but no one can discover the work God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and enjoy the good life. It is also the gift of God. Whenever anyone eats and drinks and enjoys all his efforts, I know that everything God does will last forever. There's no adding to it or taking from it. God works so that people will be in awe of him. Whatever is has already been, and whatever will be already is. Now this verse finishes with this phrase, however God seeks justice for the persecuted. We will cover that next week. But I want to draw your attention to a couple of things in this passage. Notice in the middle of this passage, verse 13, it is the gift of God whenever anyone eats, drinks, and enjoys all his efforts. I wonder, have you ever had that moment when you suddenly become aware of the incredible gift of life that you're experiencing right now? I had that a couple of weeks ago. I was out with some friends up in Orlando helping out at Harvest Community Church, and we went to Outback Steakhouse. Now, I don't know how you are about meat, if you're a meat person, not meat person. I love me some steak. Now, true story, I'm more a fan of Longhorn Steakhouse, but Outback is great too. Don't write me letters. I won't read them. But I'm sitting there, and I have this really amazing experience. I took this bite of this great steak and some mashed potatoes that are loaded and a little bit of salad, because I'm that guy that likes to take a little bit of every portion and stuff it in his mouth at the same time. All right, some of you like to eat one thing at a time and finish with it. You're right, but I don't share it. So I have these things, and I have this moment of just, wow, this is a gift. Like, think about this. You and I can be sustained perfectly well with food supplements. You and I can be sustained perfectly well with IV fluids, right? They can get, like, you know, vitamins and nutrients, and they could stick it in your vein, and you can survive that way. How many would say that may be surviving, but that's not really living, amen? A good steak or a good salad or a good salmon or a good fruit smoothie, whatever your pleasure is, God designed your body to enjoy those things because he loves you. So when we ask the question, are you building your life towards your goals or receiving your life as God's gift? Here we just found, hey, we are receiving a gift of God. So I wonder, are you cultivating the awareness of God's grace in your life in those little moments that we can take for granted? But what about this building thing? Well, here it is in verse 11. Verse 10 rather. He says, I have seen the task that God has given the children of Adam to keep them occupied. Now, the question before this was, what does the worker gain? Have you ever felt that you are working towards something and you're wondering, what am I gaining out of this? Felt that? Yeah. Well, sad news, sometimes we don't know, right? Sometimes we may be working towards something that we shouldn't be. But in the big picture, what does a worker gain? Well, in verse 11, it said he's made everything appropriate in its time. God has given you something to take pride in, to take joy in. It's a good thing to make some goals and work toward them because that is the gift of God two. I find some often we want to pick one or the other. Some people who are more type A personalities. So I'm a type A personality. I'm a go-getter. I'm a goal setter. I'm a take that hill, make it happen kind of guy, right? Some of you are like that, and you know the thrill of accomplishing something and feeling like a winner. You also know the shame of feeling defeat because it makes you feel like a loser. Others, on the other side, are quite happy to sit back and relax and just receive from the Lord. But you also know the feeling of abandonment when you don't receive what you thought you would. See, the goal isn't to pick one camp or the other, but to learn how to live in both of them. Why? Well, because it says it here. It's the gift of God whenever anyone eats, drinks, and enjoys all his efforts. So here's my encouragement to you. I think God would say to us through this passage, if you're taking notes, you can write this down. Don't be so fixed on one path that you're not willing to change your plan. See, Solomon was somebody who had enormous blessing given to him. The gift of wisdom, he didn't work for that. Go to some Hebrew university and study with the ancient masters. He got that given to him because he wanted to honor God, and God decided to honor him. That was a gift. I mean, Solomon didn't find himself born like Aladdin as a street rat and somehow magically wind his way up at the top through his own hard work and cleverness. God blessed him with a gift of being born in the royal family. And at the same time, Solomon learned the value of hard work. He did a lot of hard work, or I guess made other people do a lot of hard work because he was the king, right? But he made accomplishments too. I think he would say to us, if you're a type A personality, don't be afraid to let God change your plans and put you in a season of resting for a while. And if you're a person who's quite comfortable of resting and receiving, don't be surprised if the Holy Spirit says, hey, why don't you get up and take some steps toward the future that I've designed for you? Now, I remind you that in the providence of God, everything has its time and everything gets its turn. There's a time to rest, there's a time to work. There's a time to earn, and there's a time to receive. Don't be so fixed on one path that you're not willing to change your plan. Now, speaking of plans, I wonder if you'd look with me at the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9 says this. I'm going to show you three different translations of it. You can follow along in yours. Let's take a look. Put that on the screen, Mr. Devin. Next slide. All right, verse 9 of Proverbs 16 says this. Here's how it says it in the CSB, the Christian Standard Bible that I enjoy. A person's heart plans his way, but the Lord, what's that word say? Determines his steps, right? So this is the idea of deciding, of making the choice. So you read that and it sounds like, okay, well, I have some plans for me, but God has some plans for me too, and his plans trump my plans. How many would agree that God's plans probably should trump our plans? Amen? All right. Well, here's how it reads in the ESV, the English Standard Version. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord, what's that word? Establishes his steps. I like that one too, because when I hear the phrase establishes, man, that makes me think about firm, solid foundation that I can walk on. That if God is going to establish my steps, it means that I'm not going to have to worry about wobbling forward in life. But if I'm letting God direct me, then the steps that I take will be solid and secure. How many like to have security in your life? Amen? Amen. But look at how the New King James says it. Same thing in the King James, just with more tricky English. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord, what's that word? Directs his steps. Well, if determines, that sounds a lot more like God planned it in advance. Establishes sounds a lot more like he solidified it in the present. Directs, well, that sounds a lot more like he's just kind of telling us which one to take. So which one is it? You can probably guess all of them. Next slide. This is the Hebrew word yakin. Say yakin. Yakin is a variant of the previous one there. The word kun, say kun. I'm about 85% sure we're all mispronouncing it, but it's okay because we're in this together. This Hebrew word, it means this and more. It's a very stuffed word. Have you ever had the Pizza Hut stuffed crust pizza? There's a lot packed in there. It's so good. This is a word that has a lot packed into it. And it does mean all of these things: to appoint, to confirm, and to direct. That's one of the beauties of Hebrew, is it's multifaceted. What I love about this is it reminds me, there are seasons in my life, listen, when I may have made some plans that I had no business making. And you know that God in His grace will so often, for His children, step in and override your choices because He's got something better for you. And some of you have lived in those seasons when you know the plans that you made, but then God stepped in and did something different. You wouldn't have picked it. You didn't really like it, but you look back on it now and see it was your Heavenly Father taking care of you in spite of yourself. There's other times when I'm making some plans, and they actually are decent plans, but I'm not sure enough, and I'm not confident. And sometimes what I need is for my Heavenly Father to step in and show me from His Word, show me through other people, show me through circumstances, hey, I've got you. It's going to be okay. You're doing your part. You're seeking my wisdom. You're listening to my spirit. I want you to know you're going to be secure in this path you're taking. Everything has its time, and everything gets its turn in the providence of God. There's other times when I have no idea what plan I should be making. I have no idea which direction I should go. Is it this job? Is it that job? Is it that person or this person? Is it this meal or that meal, right? From the greatest choices to the smallest details. Man, there's sometimes when I really don't know. And God in His grace will step in and He'll whisper, hey, I got you. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is to God's people like a still small voice that says, this is the way, walk in it. Because sometimes what I need is not God to override my choices in His sovereignty and not to solidify my path because I chose well. Sometimes I need Him to walk beside me so I'll know which step to take. In the providence of God, everything has its time and everything gets its turn. So I draw your attention to this. This is what the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8. Now, he was a man who was well acquainted with making plans. And he had made plans to go to the city of Damascus and capture, and in some cases perhaps even kill, the followers of Jesus there. But the Lord Jesus Christ met Paul and overrode his plans in a miraculous way. Amen? He stepped in and he appointed a different pathway for Paul. He knew what it was like for God to step in and oversee and override. Paul also knew what it was like to make some plans and go and travel as a missionary and share the good news of Jesus and have God confirm and affirm those plans that he made. Paul went and visited people and he saw God be faithful in awakening people's hearts to receive the gospel. Paul knew what it was like for God to say, that was a good plan, let me prove it to you by solidifying your steps. And Paul also knew there was this one time when he felt that he wanted to go into the region of Macedonia to preach the gospel, but the Holy Spirit said no. You have your plan, but I'm going to direct your steps in a different area. Paul knew all three of those. And listen to what he says, writing inspired by the Holy Spirit. We'll read it from the screen. This is the Christian Standard Bible. Romans 8, verses 14 through 15. He says this, for all those led by God's, what? Spirit are God's sons. Now, don't get thrown by that. This is language that was common in the first century for inheritors of an estate. Unfortunately, in that context, only men got to be inheritors of the estate. So that's the language that's used, but that applies to sons and daughters. For all those led by God's Spirit are God's sons or daughters. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. We're no longer slaves. Amen? We are children of God. Instead, he says, you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Now listen, he says that the Spirit is the one who gives us the ability to recognize God as our Father. It's the Spirit who is the down payment that guarantees our inheritance in the kingdom of God. It's the Spirit that reminds us that if we're in Christ, that we're going to be okay. Listen, there is a time for everything under heaven. That doesn't mean it always feels good when it comes. But one of the good things about being a child of God is that when you have the Holy Spirit living within you, He will be the one to remind you, no matter how bad it looks, He'll say, turn, turn. Look at your Father who loves you. Look at Jesus who gave His life for you. You're going to be okay. When you're in a season where things are going great, it's a season of blessing. It's the Holy Spirit that will encourage you to turn, 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 and look to your Father who is the giver of all those good gifts. You didn't earn that stuff through being amazing. Now, maybe you worked for it, and the Bible says you reap what you sow, but it's ultimately still a gift from your Father. And sometimes you'll be right there in the middle, not knowing which way to go. And it's the Holy Spirit that will say, hey, turn, turn, turn. I've got a different plan for you. You made some plans, but I'm going to direct your steps. The question is, will you listen and be willing to turn? Here's the encouragement I would give to you as an application. When the Spirit says it's time, don't be afraid to turn. See, maybe you're in a circumstance where you've had some plans and you've been following a particular path, but the Holy Spirit is saying maybe it's time to do something different. Let me invite you then to go back with me to verse 1, to that place where we were read to by the birds. And let me invite you to look with me at these things. And you can look at these in your Bible, and we'll also have it on the screen. And let me encourage you to take these moments to consider something with me. Consider which of these things is the Holy Spirit saying it's time for you to embrace, and which of these things is the Holy Spirit saying it's time for you to let go of. The Bible says there is a time for birth. Some translations say to be born. A better translation is to give birth. There's a time for birthing new things. There's a time for going through the struggle and the pain and then the joy on the other side to bringing something new into the world. But there's a time for death, accepting the truth that we are still mortal and that this life is but a shadow of the one to come. Maybe for you it's time to birth something. Maybe it's time to let something die. There's a time to plant. And there's a time to uproot. Maybe for you, this is a season God is calling you to make some investment in your future, to plant some things that are going to bear fruit. Maybe for you, maybe for generations after you. Or maybe it's time to re-examine some things you thought were important. Maybe it's time to dig them up and say, this isn't bearing the fruit that the Holy Spirit wants for me. It's time to uproot it. Maybe for some, this is a time for healing. It's a time to let God work healing in your heart, acknowledging the pain of your past and admitting the powerlessness of your present, but trusting God to do healing for your future. Maybe it's time for you to be the one to help others heal. Or maybe it's time for some killing. Kill off those things in your life that are dishonoring to God and that are holding you back from fellowship with Him. To sever some relationships that are toxic and that are leading you on a path away from following Jesus effectively. Maybe for you, it's a time for building up. It's always good to build other people up. It's always good to do things that are going to build you up in a healthy way. Maybe it's time to focus on that. Or maybe it's time for tearing down some habits that have only brought you pain and suffering. Tearing down lies that you've believed, maybe even for years, so that God can build something new in your life. There's a time for laughing, a time to embrace. Maybe for you right now is time to let go of some hurt and just learn to laugh again and learn to just embrace the joy of the Lord. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is your strength, but there's also a time for weeping and for grieving over the sin in your life, for grieving over the losses that you've endured, not stuffing the pain down, but embracing the pain and learning to weep. There's a time to dance for joy, and there's a time to mourn over things you've lost. You can't hold back those things forever. You need to embrace them. But only the Holy Spirit will be able to lead you and tell you when it's time to make the turn. For some, there's a time for gathering stones for collecting and accumulating things for the future. For others, it's a time to throw those things away and trust God to provide for you in the moment. The passage continues. He goes on, for some, there's a time for embracing. Maybe there's people in your life that you've held at arm's length, and it's time to just welcome them in. It's time to take that next step. Embrace them. Maybe there's change that has been brought across your path, and you don't want that change. Maybe it's time to embrace that. Or maybe it's time for avoiding, to avoid embracing, to create some space and some distance, to hold off on some things, because now is not the time for that. In the providence of God, everything has its time and everything gets its turn. What is the Spirit saying to you about this? There's a time for searching, for seeking after, for trying to recover something that was lost or trying to find something you've never had. But there's also a time to give up the search and acknowledge that this life is not perfection and it never will be, that this is not our home, that heaven is our home, that our ultimate joy will only be found in Christ in eternity. And there's a time to give up the search. There's a time for keeping, holding on to things that matter. There's a time for throwing away and realizing that not everything that glitters is really gold, and not everything that seems so important now will really hold up in the end. There's a time for sewing, connecting and mending broken things, and there's a time for tearing and letting them pass away. It's a time to speak. When you need to open your mouth and you need to speak up about something that's not right, something that isn't as it should be, it's a time to refrain from speaking and be silent and let God be the one who deals with things. There's a time to love. There's a time to give it and a time to receive it from the people around you, from God Himself. There's also a time for hate, to hate the sin that remains in your life, to hate the scourge of death that lives in our world. The Bible talks about that. There's a time for peace, to simply rest, but there's also a time for war, when you need to stand up, step up, and fight for what's right no matter the cost. Because sometimes God puts you in a place that is not about your comfort and is not about your greatest good, but it's about you being used for the greatest good of others, for the glory of God and the good of all people. There's a time for war. See, in the providence of God, everything has its time and everything gets its turn. That's the message of our passage today. And so what do we do about it? When the Spirit says it's time. Not when you think it might be better for you, not when you toss the coin and it lands properly, not when everyone around you is giving you their opinions. Listen, counsel is good. Other people speaking into your life can be a helpful thing if they're godly influences, but ultimately, when the Spirit says it's time, don't be afraid to turn. When you listen and follow where He leads, you'll live as an outpost of the kingdom of God. And you'll show the world what it looks like to live well and finish strong under the sun.
Hi, friends. Pastor Philip here, and thanks for joining us today. If you've been blessed, we'd love to know. Please leave a review on iTunes or Facebook, or email us at connect@outpostchurch.org. Also, if you'd like to contribute to this ministry, you can send a text message with any amount to 84321 or just visit outpostchurch.org/give. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you next time.